If you want to go and take your Bibles and turn as we continue through the book of James, the James chapter 1. James chapter 1. This is our third week going through the first chapter of James. If you remember back with me, that the very first part that we went through, the first part of the chapter, was we looked at the believer going through trials, and we looked at the believer's what their right response and perspective on trials should be, which is joy, because of the growing and the maturing that one is able to do as a believer goes through trials, as they trust and obey God and follow His will through them. Then last week we looked at temptation, and we saw that temptation was not from God, but was from our own flesh, and was from the evil works around us, and what this world has to offer. And we saw and how one might battle temptations. And if you remember with me last week, one of the major things, or one of the biggest tools that we went over, and how one might battle temptations when we are faced with them, is by the Word of God. And we talked about how the Word of God is a lamp onto our feet among this dark world. And so when we look at what Scripture says, and then we look at what we might be tempted to do, we can see that temptation for being what it is, but of leading one towards to sin. Today, jumping right off from that idea, we go into our section today by looking at what James has to tell us about following the Word of God. And so if you're there with me in James chapter 1, I'm going to begin reading in verse 19 and read to verse 25. Verse 19 says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But who looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." Let's go and go to the Lord in prayer before we dive into this text. Father, I again thank you for the day you've given us, and I pray, Lord, as we come before your word, that you allow us to have our hearts open to what the Spirit might have for our life. And I pray that you allow us to put away distractions, to clear our mind, that we have a complete focus on you and your word this morning, and be with me as I present it. In Christ's name, amen. So we're looking here at the Word of God and how it applies to the believer's life and how we ought to interact with God's word. And right off, you'd say, well, obviously, we are to read God's word. We're to follow God's word. But as we dive into this, we'll see in how we might be a good hearer. Good hearing skills is something that we are to do as believers, to have as we go before God. But it's also in our life as well. It's expected that one is to be a good hearer. I was thinking about this when I was preparing this sermon, of a man I used to work with when I worked at McDonald's. I had the, I don't want to say privilege of working there. That seems like it was that too good. But as I worked at McDonald's for about 5 to 6 years as I was a teenager in high school and in college, there was this one coworker who was hired on who never listened to anyone. None. He would go on his phone. He'd be off doing his thing. They would find him in the parking lot during the middle of his shift just smoking by the dumpster, and you didn't tell anyone he'd leave. Now, if you don't know this, it's quite hard to get fired from a corporate McDonald's, and he really tested that. And you think, well, man, he's not listening to what he's supposed to do. They must have gotten rid. Well, no, he got moved to the night shift because they figured less people are going to be interacting with him, so the less problem he'll be. And so they moved him to the night shift. And you might think of that, and you might say, man, that kid needs to get fired. That kid needs to get a hold of himself. He's not listening to his bosses. He's not doing what he's supposed to. He's just doing his own thing. Well, as we look at our text this morning, we're going to see and how we might not do the same thing that this McDonald's co-worker was doing in that job as we go before the Word of God, that we are listening to God's Word and that we are doing God's Word as well. But as we start here in our text, let's first look at being a hearer of God's Word. Through the first couple of verses that we read, we see that this passage of Scripture talks about how one is to be a hearer. In verse number 19 in our text, it says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." And we see that very first part there, to hear. And what is it that we are to be hearers of? Well, very simply, it is the Word of God. It is Scripture. It's the Bible that I see many of you holding in your laps this morning. In verse number 21, we see even more of this. At the very end, it says, "The engrafted word, which is able to save your souls." And this is referring to the Word of God. We are to be hearers of it. And how you might be a hearer, it can be in various different ways. You can be a hearer of God's Word as you read it in your personal devotions, as you read His Word, as you are at home or wherever you might be. It could be as you're in Sunday school or morning service here or at church, or it can be maybe you listen to a sermon somewhere else, or other believers as you discuss Scripture and look at it. Hearing God's Word can come in many forms. This is a key element. God's Word is a key element to the believer's life. As we looked at last week and how we ought to live in guiding our life. But the Word of God is so precious to the believer's life, as it helps us grow, as it helps instruct us, as it helps us grow spiritually and mature. A true spiritual life results from a proper relationship to God through His Word. God's Word is truth. So if we are rightly grounded in truth, we are going to grow spiritually through that truth, through His Word. And also, I want to touch on this as well, in how important this part is too. In verse number 21 at the very end, it says, "The engrafted word," as it describes the Word of God. The engrafted word, and it is, has the meaning here, engrafted has a meaning to be a part of something or a part of someone or planted in someone. The gospel received as the word of truth, as it applies to the believer, as we have received God's truth as in looking at salvation, it has become a part of our very life. John, in John chapter 1, in verse number 1, we see John's description of Jesus Christ and who He is and how God is revealed. In verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And that's John there in Scripture giving the description of who Christ is, and says, God's Word is Christ. God's Word is our Savior. It is the gospel. We see also in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and kind of building off this, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 12. Verse number 7, not 12. "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. And so we see there from the depiction as well that the believer, and give you some context as we jumped into 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul is talking about the gospel ministry. He's talking about of that of salvation of through Jesus Christ. He spends the entire chapter of chapter 3 talking about how great and glorious and awesome the gospel truly is. And in chapter 4, he starts by talking about the ministry of the gospel. And in verse number 7, he says that a believer or one who has accepted Jesus Christ are like clay pots that hold an amazing and awesome treasure, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is our Savior. We as believers possess truth. God's word is a part of us. It's engrafted into our lives through our salvation through Jesus Christ. So as we read through scripture, we're not just reading a book. For one, we're reading the truth of God, God's own words. And secondly, this word is so personal to us as believers. It is very personal to us because it is engrafted to us through our salvation through Jesus Christ. The word, the truths that are held in this book are in our life. And so as we look at what we are to be a hearer of, I think it's important that as we just stopped and looked at on how truly wonderful the Word of God is and how it is not just another book on our shelf, but it is personal. It is truth. It is the Word of God in our life. And it is a guide in how we ought to live our life as a believer, as we further live that new life that we have through Christ. And so we see here, as we look at what we're to be a hearer of, which is the Word of God, we then see that James goes into talking about four different ways to be a better hearer, or four different ways on how not to hinder yourself from being a good hearer. Verse number 19 says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear." The first thing that we see that James comes across in instruction on how one is to be a good hearer, he says, first off, be swift to hear. Be quick to hear the word of God. This is kind of describing someone who is diligent in opportunities to hear the Bible and desires to receive instruction from it. It is that our attitude to the Word of God is kind of a hunger. Our attitude towards the Word of God is one that we are on our toes to hear. We're quick. It is like a servant who hears his master's voice. He is quick to hear it, quick to hear the instructions. And as a believer, we are to be swift to hear the word of God as he speaks through his word to us. We are to be ready to hear, quick to hear. Secondly, we see as we continue on in verse number 19, we see right after be swift to hear, we see slow to speak. Slow to speak. To constantly speak or interrupt, you cannot hear or understand what another person is talking about. It is more important to hear the word of God than intercede into it, than in trying to talk over God's word. Kind of give you the idea that you ever talk to someone who holds the conversation quite well, and you start to wonder, what am I even doing here? They could talk without me even being here. Kind of that idea. One who is constantly talking is not listening. If you're constantly talking and speaking about yourself or whatever it might be with someone else, you're probably not really hearing that other person because they don't even have a chance to speak because you've brought in your own thoughts so much. And so we kind of get this idea of slow to speak. What else is interesting is in the early churches during this time that James would have been written, it was not uncommon for those listening to a sermon to weigh in or to attack as they were preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and preaching the truths of God's word. It was somewhat common in the early church that some people would just interject and try to say what they believe or say what their premise is. And can I tell you, I'm very glad that that's not common anymore. That there's no one, I really hope there's no one, that's going to say, oh, wait, I got something to say. And so that was a common thing during that time. It would not have been uncommon for those who were preaching, especially preaching openly, to have people to start just to attack or to weigh in or to bring their own two cents. And so that these people, they would do this and they would be hindering the speaking or preaching of God's word to other or themselves' life. And you know, we often sometimes argue or we sometimes try to talk over the word of God. And you know, this isn't always done verbally as it's done in our hearts as well. In how we might interact. You know, it can be easy for our minds to go, especially if you're living in sin, and saying, oh, that doesn't really apply. This is what I think, rather than listening to the word of God. As well as you're sitting here this morning or in reading your devotions or whatever it might be as you're engaging in the word of God, to get caught up in your own thoughts. To get caught up in what might be going on in your life that you're thinking through. And you know, when you kind of get caught up in your own thoughts and in different things that are going on, you find yourself that you're probably not really listening to another person or really paying attention to what you're reading. You know, after we've moved, as many of you know, we moved here very recently. And many of you who helped us move know that we put a lot of things in our garage. I have been working quite often on Mondays. I'll spend time and say, I am going to organize this garage. And a couple of weeks ago, I was out there and I was just staring at the massive pile. And I'm saying, I don't even know where to start. And so I'm mapping out a plan in my head. And my wife, Nicole, comes out and she says something to me. And I don't even know she said anything to me. I'm in my own thoughts. And so then when she finally got my attention, I had to say, oh, I'm sorry, can you repeat yourself? I didn't hear you. And that can happen a lot of times. When you're deep in thought or you have different things on your mind, you block other things out. Your attention isn't on what's in front of you. It's on what's in your mind. And so you might not be sitting there and say, well, I never verbally interrupt. I never verbally speak when I'm supposed to be engaged in the Word of God. But what about your minds? Do you come to church in preparing your minds to be set apart, to take this time to put away the distractions of your life, put away the distractions of what might be on the menu for lunch or maybe on what you have to do later today and say, I am setting this time apart to engage in the Word of God. And the same thing with your devotions. Rather than, you know, going forward and having your mind filled with everything you have to do during that day, you know, you need to take that time and say, I'm setting this apart to focus, to truly listen to the Word of God, rather than allowing other things to distract me from it. And we need to make sure when we go before the Word of God, either in devotions or at church or whatever it might be, that we are focused on His Word. And making sure that is what has our attention. And so slow to speak. Thirdly, we see in verse number 19, once again, we see slow to wrath. Slow to wrath. Slow to your passions. Many things can bring one to wrath. Many things can bring one to anger, can it? How about traffic? How about unfair work things? How about treated badly? How, you know, when something bad happens to you, it's easy to get kind of angry, to give over to your passions or your emotions. And, you know, whatever might be going in our life. Can we go before God in an angry spirit and truly be a good listener? Verse number 20 says, "For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." We are to go before God and his word with meekness, with a humble spirit. It says that our wrath does not produce the righteousness of God. James rewrites this in the positive a couple chapters over as well, and talking about this in chapter 3 and verse number 18, as it says, "And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace." And so when you're given over to anger, when you're given over to your passions, you know, you're not doing anything that God views as righteous. You're given over to your flesh in that. If we come to church angry and we don't bring ourselves back towards God, how much do you think you're going to get out of the morning message? Allowing that anger to fester? Probably not a lot. Oftentimes, it's been called that people go through almost a blind rage, that when you're angry, when you're upset, when you've been given over to your emotions, you're not thinking about anything else but that thing that just happened to you. Now, how true is that in our life? When we are upset, how often do we dwell on that thing? How often do we let it fester? How long do we let it control our thoughts and allow it to control what we are focusing on? When someone is angry, I think we can all assume that he is not thinking clearly. Well, then if one is not speaking clearly when they are angry or upset, then how can one expect to be able to meditate on God's truths? How can one expect to come before God's word and to have a humble spirit? We can't receive God's truth in an angry spirit. Verse 21, as I already mentioned, tells us that it says that we are to come before God's word with meekness. We are to receive it in a humble spirit. Meekness is pretty much the opposite of anger and giving over to that emotion. Anger centers around pride, doesn't it? When you're upset about something in your life and it makes you angry, you're putting yourself completely first. Your mindset is, I can't believe they did that to me. I can't believe that happened to me. I can't, and how it offended you. And when we come before God's word and come before him in pride, well, then we're not focusing on God. We're focusing on ourselves. And so we are to be slow to wrath. If you are angry or maybe something emotional is going on in your life, take time to pray. Bring yourself back to having a focus on God and his word and a humble spirit. Lastly, we see also in verse 21 to lay apart all filthiness. What is this filth that he is talking about in verse 21? Well, it is our sin nature, one's filth of the flesh. And he also adds a pretty interesting couple of words there, superfluity of naughtiness. Now that's an interesting phrase. It has a meaning of a great number or even a great flood. And so these are things that it is a great amount of sin or filth in one's life. It tells us that we need to lay aside or to get rid of our sins that we are committing. That, you know, if we are actively living in sin, if we are actively having that, living to our old selves, we are to, as verse 21 says, lay it apart, lay it aside. You know, if you know that you have sinned your life, go before God and say, God, am sorry for the sin that I've had in my life, and turn away from it. Lay it off from yourself. Ephesians, the first couple chapters of Ephesians talk very heavily on the new life that we have in Christ and how we are to put off our old self, to put off our old fleshly life and living after this world and living for our own pleasures, and to walk in the new life that we have through Jesus Christ as we seek to obey and live for him. We are to lay apart this filthiness. And you know, when we are active in sin, or when sin is in our life, it can be a hindrance to us hearing the word of God. Can it? Sometimes God's word, it convicts us and it gets us right. But, you know, if we are living in sin, if we're turning away from God and living for ourselves, you know, God's word as it's presented, you know, are you having the focus of God and how can I grow closer to you? How can I live for you? Or do you have the focus on I'm living for myself in this area? I want to live and I want to do this for myself. Even though God's word has said not to, and we are to have the focus to say, I am to live for God. You know, when you become before God's word in that, you know, you're putting pride forward. You're putting yourself first. And that's why we see in verse 21 that after he talks about laying apart this filthiness that we see as we read here again, and receive with meekness the engrafted word. That we are to lay apart the sin in our life and to lay it apart and to strive to live towards God, to come before him in meekness. Come before him with a desiring heart to live for him rather than ourselves. And as we see these four things, they might seem simple, and you might say, well, some of those are pretty obvious, and you know, how you might be paying attention to the Word of God and how you might receive the Word of God. But are they things that you're doing? Are you being swift to hear? Are you eager to hear God's Word, listening for his instruction? Are you, in living and hearing the Word of God, are you slow to speak? Are you setting your mind and your thoughts about all the busyness of our day-to-day life and saying, I'm focusing on God and his word, letting him speak rather than me speaking over his word? Are you being slow to wrath? Are you coming before God with an angry spirit or one mindset of giving over to emotions? Are you coming before God's word with a clear mind? And are you coming before God's word with laying apart our old life of living for ourselves and for this world? And are you living after God and seeing how you might further serve and glorify him and learn from his word? These four things might seem simple, but they often can be very hard when put into practice. And, you know, life sometimes gets busy too, and as we have our devotion time, but it is so critical and crucial that you set that time apart, that you make sure that you're coming before God with the right attitude and spirit and mindset, that way that you might be a good hearer of his word, that you are meditating on his word as you read through it, as you hear it, as you discuss it. And so James goes and he gives instruction on how one might be a good hearer of God's word. But you know, James doesn't stop there. He doesn't stop by saying, just be a good hearer, listen to the word of God, and you're good. Nope. As we continue on in verse number 22, he says, but be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. James goes a step further. He says, not only are you to be a good hearer of God's word, but you are to put into practice what you hear from his word. And so as we listen to God's word, as we learn from his word, as we hear the preaching of his word, we're doing so with a desire to put his word into practice in our life. Not just be hearers of his word. Not just say, yeah, I know that, and then after you're done reading, you go off and you live your own life, whatever you want to do. But to put God's word into practice in your life. You know, he takes it a step further. And, you know, it is both important that one is to be a hearer of God's word and then a doer, as they go hand to hand very well. Last Christmas, as many of you exchanged gifts, one of the gifts that we got was a nightstand set from my parents. From IKEA, and I don't know how many of you have ever gotten something from IKEA, but you have to build it when you get it from IKEA. And so right off the bat, my mom had looked at me and my dad and said, well, get to building it so it's ready. And so me and my dad get to building, and my dad's over there, and it's two nightstands. They're identical. And I go and I start building mine. It's straightforward. There are drawers, there's a table. You kind of have a picture on what's supposed to happen. And I can see the picture on the box, and I think I got it. And my dad's over there taking his sweet time, reading through the instructions, looking at what's included. And so me and my brother start building this nightstand, and we finish quite quickly before my dad gets done. One thing that we did not notice is that one of the pieces of wood is supposed to be flipped a certain way. That way it doesn't just show, blank gray, but it shows the wood. And I had not thought about that when I built it. And to this day, if you go to our house, it's my nightstand now because I messed it up. There is one of our drawers. The panel's backwards. Instead of seeing that wood face, you see nothing but gray paint. And what did my dad do? He read through the instructions. He saw that very obviously, and he did it right. Now, not only did my dad do and live for and to put that together, but he read the instructions. He looked at them. He spent time in them. And this is why this is important. You can't just expect to go and live your life and saying, I'm going to go serve the Lord, and then leave God's word out of it. Well, then how do you know what you're supposed to be doing? How are you getting your instruction for your life? How are you combating the temptations? And, you know, I think in some believers' lives, it's easy to say, well, I got a basic principle of God's word. I'm just going to live for him. And they kind of leave devotions and maybe even coming to church or in speaking with others, they kind of leave scripture kind of to the side and say, I'm going to go serve the Lord. You know, that's what's important. The word of God, it shows us how we are to live our life. It gives us guidance. It shines a light among this dark world. It'd be like me going and building it all based off a picture, based off a basic understanding of what that nightstand's supposed to look like without reading the instructions. And well, what do you know? I stumbled and I did it wrong. And so the word of God in being a hearer of it, in studying God's word, and reading it in our life, and then living for God, putting the word of God into practice, go very hand to hand. And I know you might be saying, well, of course, how can you be a doer if you haven't heard what you're supposed to do? Yes, that's very obvious to say, but in many Christians' life, they've left one of the two steps out. Either they one is reading the word of God very intensely, but not really putting it into practice, or maybe there's one who is going and trying to serve the Lord very well, but they've left reading God's word out of their life. They've left being a hearer out. And hopefully not, but maybe there's one here that has left both of these things out and you're living for yourself. James takes it a step forward in tying together being a hearer of God's word and a doer of his word and how we ought to live our life as a believer. And it says, if you believe that you can just be a hearer only, that you're deceiving yourself. Verse 22 says that. He says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. If you think you can just be a hearer of God's word and not a doer and putting his word into practice in your life, then you're deceiving yourself. So how can we say that only listening to God's God and his word is okay? We need to take guidance from his word through and listen to how the Spirit leads us as we read through his word as well. And we as believers are called to not just read our Bibles, not just to be good hearers, or go to church a few times a week to check a box, but we are to be doers. We are to put into practice in what God's word instructs in our life, in our day-to-day. And what is it that we are to do? In doing this, in putting God's word into practice? Well, first, it's to obey God. It's to follow his will. It's to follow how he has commanded us and how we ought to live in his instruction for the believer. Also, it's to grow spiritually as we put into practice, as we go through, as we see earlier in this chapter, as we go through trials and temptations. As we read God's word and showing and how we ought to navigate and seeing how we ought to continue to live with faith towards God, as we do so and as we live that out, we grow spiritually. We went over that a couple weeks ago. And also to, as we talked about, to be a lamp in this dark world. That we are able to navigate what is truth because we have the absolute source of truth in our hands. And so we see putting God's word into practice pretty much encompasses our entire life as believers and how we are to live. Even when you're at work, even when you're doing something at home, as you ought to be living to the fullness that you can in living a life that is glorifying unto God. How do you do that? Well, you follow his word. You follow his instructions. You follow his guidance as the Spirit guides you through your life and through his word. James even gives an illustration in our text this morning in talking about this. In verses 23 through 24, we see this illustration as he starts off. He says, "For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was." It talks about a man who looks at his own reflection. This is not talking about just a quick look. The words that James used here is talking about a man who studies his reflection. It talks about a man who is very purposely looking, studying, and seeing what he can see. This man, he is relating it to one who is a hearer of the word of God. And he's not just hearing in the words, as I mentioned, that James using the words here in the Greek of meaning to study. This could be applied as one who is a hearer and one who studies the word of God, who puts a lot of time into being a good hearer in God's word. He's a studier. He's a listener. He sets apart X amount of time to be in his word. But what happens to this man? What happens to the man who studies his face in the reflection? This man goes away and he forgets instantly what he looks like. Forgets it. The Word of God shows us who we truly are and how we ought to live. It shows us the truths of our life. It shows us our sin. It shows us how we ought to live. It shows us how we one might be saved. I mean, you talk about everything one can learn from God's Word. It is truly amazing and how powerful His Word is. But if we do not put these things, which we hear or read, into practice, and then we look away, we miss it. We forget it. We truly do. And how does he contrast this? And he contrasts this illustration with another picture in verse number 25, as he says, "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." So in verse 25, he contrasts this with a person who not only hears, but one who is a doer. He has put into practice of what he has heard. The perfect law here is not referring to the law itself. It is talking about the Word of God and the scriptures that they had. And this man, we see as he looked at, as he studied, as he heard the Word of God and he put it into practice, this is a man who is blessed in his actions. This man listened intensely to the Word of God and had understanding, like the man looking in the mirror. They both started off great. They both had they were both hearers of the Word. But then he took what he had heard and acted upon it. It goes further than the man who just heard. He acted upon what he had heard. It is not sufficient to just listen to the Word of God. It's not sufficient just to read through the Scripture. God has called us not to just be hearers of His Word, but also doers of His Word. This passage touches on a very powerful truth that is not always an easy one to do. You know, I don't know where you're at in being a hearer of God's Word. I don't know if you are one who is seeking to be a good hearer or not. I hope you are. I hope you take these truths and you apply it to your life and you strengthen in being a hearer of God's Word. And I don't know, those of you who are out there, who is putting God's Word into practice in your life. But my desire is that you see the need, you see the importance of it. That we are to live as God has instructed us. We ought to grow through His Word. We ought to put His Word into practice in our life. God, through His Word and through the, and as the Spirit leads us as well, as we read through it, and has instructed us, has shown us truth, has shown us how we ought to live and how we ought to face certain challenges and how we ought to go and live day by day. But to be able to get to the point where we are living a life that is glorifying unto God, living a life that is in obedience unto God, takes two things. First, to be a hearer of God's Word. And secondly, put that into practice. To put God's Word into practice in your life. Not just certain parts of your life. Not just certain parts in maybe saying, I put God's Word into practice, you know, in these situations, but in your entire life. To make sure that you are fully serving Him. To make sure that you are fully obeying Him. To make sure that you are fully seeking after Him. Can I tell you also about the Word of God? It is the absolute source of truth. There's a lot of people with a lot of different opinions on how you ought to live your life. There's a lot of different people out there with a different theology or different understanding or whatever they might have. Can I tell you that men are not absolute truths? Women are not absolute truths. The Word of God is our absolute truth. I don't come up here this morning and try to preach myself. I'm trying to preach from the Word of God and show you what it has to tell to us and help apply it to one's life. Paul goes through that, and even in, we were just there in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he talks about we do not preach ourselves, but we preach Christ Jesus. I'm not saying this morning all these things because this is what I think you should do. I'm sharing this morning because this is what God's word has instructed the believer to do. This is what the truth of God has said. And so I hope that you take this and you see the importance of God's word in your life. I hope that you are taking time to be in his word. To even start to become a hearer, you have to be in his word. Are you taking time throughout the week to be in his word? Are you taking time in your daily life to be in his word, to be able to meditate on it, to be able to grow in it? And are you taking the truths of his word and applying it to your life, whatever it might be? Maybe God's word reveals a way that you're struggling. Maybe God reveals a way in how you might grow. Maybe his word applies in how you ought to help another believer. Many different things. But are you putting into practice what God's word has shown you in your life day by day? Let's go and close in a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for your word. And Father, I thank you so much that here in America, it is so readily available unto us, Lord. So easy to attain a copy. Allow us not to take that for granted, Lord. Father, I pray that we here today would seek to be good hearers of your word, to listen to it, Lord, to be in it, to have a desire or a hunger, Lord, after your word. And allow us not to stop there, Lord, but allow us to put your word into practice in our life. Allow us not to put ourselves first, Lord, and in that, and living for the way we want, but allow us to seek in how we ought to live to glorify you and to do so by how you have commanded us to do through your word. And I pray this in Christ's name. Amen.